Hi, good Vach and good Erev Pesach. This is Yisachar Wartel. So I'm not sure how many of you are listening, as many of you are probably involved in the Bedikah or other preparations for Pesach this year. It's definitely a pretty crazy year in terms of the getting everything together. We also, in addition to it being kind of like Shabbos going into Pesach, we also have like double inyanim with respect to Parshat Tzav and then getting into the different Torah on Pesach. So I'll try and kind of deal with both of those. In the beginning of this week's Parsha, Hashem commands regarding the Mincha offering, Venu teret mimenu yochel Aaron uvenav matzot ta'achel b'mkom kadosh, b'chatzer o'amoeg yechuha u'ot ta'afecha meitz chalkam natati ta'ameishai Kodesh Kodeshim Hu Kichata Vasham. And the remainder of it, Aaron and his son shall eat as matzot. You shall eat them in a holy place of the courtyard of the Ohel Moed. They shall eat it. Do not bake them as chametz. Right? So you can kind of see where I'm going with this. It is your portion that I have given you from my fires. It is the holy of holies like the Chatat and the Asham. Now, the Rambam states that even the remainder of the Mincha could not be eaten as chametz. And this is despite being able to eat it with any other food and despite being able to mix it with honey, which would disqualify certainly any offerings. And that's special law solely with respect to chametz. In fact, he states that even if it has already been made chametz, one is liable for making it chametz even further, such as one person making it into dough and another person then baking it. So why is this the case? There are many commentaries that suggest why chametz was never allowed to come in contact with the Mizbeach. But why was it that the remainder was never allowed to go near the Mizbeach again? Like, why was there like an extra secondary prohibition of chametz? Now, the Chizkuni explains at a simple level why this remainder cannot be made into chametz. Hashem refers to it as Chalkam Me'ishai, their portion from my fires. This flour was part of an offering that was brought. Since it was initially designated as part of Hashem's fires, it retains that status, and the entire mincha had to be treated as if it was in fact offered on the Mizbeach, even though only a very small portion, the kemitza, was. And he brings a textual proof to support this. So now we need to understand what the overall problem with chametz is, and obviously almost every commentary under the sun deals with it. So the most often given explanation is that of ego versus humility. Chametz, which rises and swells, is symbolic of arrogant pride and self-righteousness. In contrast, matzah, which is simple and unleavened, represents humility, anava, or anivus. The expression that Hashem uses to describe the mincha remainder is specifically the word chalkam, which means their portion. Hashem could have easily commanded for the entire mincha offering to be burnt on the altar, but instead only asked that a kemitza, a fistful, sort of a fistful, like a fingerful, be burnt, and that the kohana would receive this portion as a gift, meaning the remainder. So what does this gift symbolize? The word chalkam is numerically equivalent to anava bahem, the humility in them. Humility is not merely a trait, but must be internalized. By being able to have a portion from God's fire is, in fact, a humbling experience. Furthermore, Hashem describes this portion as being from Me'ishai, from my fire. These words can be rearranged to form Me'ish, from man. I'm not getting into the connection between Ish and Ish right now. But it's a natural tendency of a person to think that he is the cause of his success and to act to support his ego. And therefore, Hashem asks to take man's natural instinct and insert a portion of humility in it. And that is, in fact, symbolized by the matzah. This anava, this humility, Hashem bestowed upon us, me'ishai, right? That word me'ishai from my fires also corresponds to the word beketer matzah, with the crown of matzah. Right? He gave us the humility with this crown of matzah. Right, matzah is the opposite of chametz in nearly every aspect. In fact, chametz consists of the same letters as metzach, which means forehead. Now, the forehead is merely an exterior. It is the top of the face, but gives no sense of who a person is, as with the eyes, for example. Right? You can see, you can mouth out what a person is saying. You can look at different facial features. Obviously, certainly you can connect with the eyes. You can even look at certain, you know, nose and eyebrow features. But the forehead itself is plain, but it's very prominent. It sticks out. Right? And people see the metzach because it's what is just plainly in front of you, but they don't necessarily see what's behind it, which is your mind and what you're thinking and what you're feeling. Just as a person functions with his mind, but not the outer part of his head, not his forehead, so too, we appear to ourselves as what's there, but it's really more. We're really our neshamos and our connection with Hashem, much more than our goof, our body, which is what people see. Now, metzach, mem tzadichet, consists of nearly the same letters, actually, as matzah. and is different by only a value of 3. And this 3 can correspond to the 3 pillars of the world that the Torah stands, or the world stands on, which is Torah, Avodah, and Gemilut Chasadim. By Pesach, these 3 items are heavily emphasized. We perform Torah by teaching our children and others at the table about the story of Mitzrayim. That's 1. We perform Avodah by bringing in the Pesach, the Karban Pesach, the Pesach sacrifice, or nowadays about learning it and remembering it. And we perform Gemilut Chasadim, acts of kindness, by inviting all those who are hungry to come eat with us. By refraining from Chametz, which we enjoy all year, and by partaking specifically of Matzah, which seems foreign, possibly, to our everyday lives, we are forced to contemplate what we are doing and our purpose behind it, and that can ultimately lead to Torah, Avodah, Gemilut Chasadim, and hopefully humility. Now, another interesting thing is that when looking at the word metzach, or even really chametz, let's focus on the word chametz and matzah. They both have the mem tzadi root, but one has a chet at the beginning and one has a hey at the end. And a chet is similar to a hey, except that it's not broken. Hey has this door, this window, right? When you start with chet, right, which normally is a supernal, which is going beyond, which is a good thing. But when you have this ego and you go beyond for the wrong reasons, right, then that becomes inflated. That becomes chametz, and that's not what we're looking for, right? Whereas if you put this grandeur at the end, but you leave the door open for other people and you leave the room open for difference of opinions and to understand that you might be wrong about certain things, you have this humility about you, then that's really what can bring, hopefully, kedusha, right? And that can maybe hopefully bring the meats, the juice, the sweetness, to our lives when we, contemplate that. And, hopefully we can bring that together this year. It's a little brighter than last year, but still certainly confusing to many of us. Many of us can still not have people over, but we're blessed to have our families and possibly a couple people. It's just important to, as we kind of go transition from Shabbos into Pesach, it's a special gift this year to take some of that oneg of Shabbos and bring it into the simcha of Yom Tov, that we can actually transition more appropriately from chametz to matzah in a more seemly and less stressed and rushed fashion, that we can hopefully contemplate it and all the symbolism that it represents. Shabbat Shalom and Chag Kasher V'Sameach.